Translation. Lord Chaitanya excused them all, and they merged into the ocean of devotional service, for no one can escape the unique, loving network of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Please repeat. Lord Chaitanya excused them all. And they merged into the ocean of devotional service. For no one can escape the unique loving network of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was an ideal acharya. An acharya is an ideal teacher who knows the purport of the revealed scriptures, behaves exactly according to their injunctions, and teaches his students to adopt these principles also. As an ideal acharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu devised ways to capture all kinds of atheists and materialists. Every acharya has a specific means of propagating his spiritual movement with the aim of bringing men to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, the method of one acharya may be different from that of another, but the ultimate goal is never neglected. Srila Rupa Goswami recommends, Tasmat kenapya upayena mana krishne neveshayat sarve vidi nishe datsyur etayur eva kinkaraha. An acharya should devise a means by which people may somehow or other come to Krishna consciousness. First, they should become Krishna conscious, and all the prescribed rules and regulations may later gradually be introduced. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we follow this policy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For example, since boys and girls in the Western countries freely intermingle, special concessions regarding their customs and habits are necessary to bring them to Krishna consciousness. The acharya must devise a means to bring them to devotional service. Therefore, although I am a sannyasi, I sometimes take part in getting boys and girls married. Although in the history of sannyas, no sannyasi has personally taken part in marrying his disciples. Om Ajnana Timrandasya Ginandana Shalakchaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Namobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kramayam Dharati Swa Padantikam Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vivacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavabhyo Namaha. So, when Nandan Prabhu, where's Nandan? He's been asking me for the last 2 years, please, can you give class? And every time I say no, mostly because I really don't feel qualified at all. And secondly, because I just don't have the time really to prepare a class that would be worthy to sit on this Vyasasan. However, when he said to me, please, can you give a class leading up to the Sankirtan festival? I first said no. And then I felt a real duty to actually honor the devotees that go out regularly on Sankirtan. Sorry. But I don't go out regularly myself. But I felt obliged to maybe share some of my Sankirtan life, which, of course, our Sankirtan life should be our whole life, but I had the privilege of doing intensive Sankirtan. I know some of you know what that means. Intensive Sankirtan for, 10 years as a new devotee. And I have to say that they were probably the happiest years of my life and the most formative years. And even now, when times are challenging, you can reflect and, kind of go to that space and, and that time, because it was a very special time, as are these very special times. History is always in the making. But those were very special times of Sankirtan because they were really the golden years of ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada was on the planet and the books were coming out. The books were coming out, and with every book there was a celebration, and devotees all over the world were engaged in this special mission to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. I chose this verse for several reasons. I thought it was interesting that Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that every acharya has his specific means of propagating his spiritual movement with the aim of bringing men to Krishna consciousness. So for all our acharyas going back, you know, literary works are very much a part of our tradition, spreading the love of Krishna and bhakti through literature. But for Srila Prabhupada, he took it one step further, and it is his mission, as it's on the back of these jumpers, his life and soul, to distribute books. So this was the specific means that Srila Prabhupada chose to translate these books and for all of us. He engaged all of us in distributing them on a real mass scale. I mean, there are other religious movements that distribute literature. I think the Jehovah's Witnesses do a pretty good job, some Christian movements. But for the size of our Sankirtan army, it's actually phenomenal how many books have been distributed. Millions and millions of books have been distributed over the years. So Srila Prabhupada saw that this was a way of inundating the materialistic culture with transcendental knowledge and the message of bhakti. And he would live for hearing the results of, well, he'd live for hearing about the book publication and then for the results of, you know, the book distribution. So here's a little quote he said in a letter to Shrutadev. Regarding your question, actually it is a fact that everyone should preach and distribute books if they want to please me in the best way. Book distribution is the best kirtan. So there you go. So I have my own story to tell, and if you will just forgive me if I mention myself, if I'm being indulgent by mentioning myself in the story, but I'm only telling the story just to share with you some of the experiences and adventures that it's all a leela, you know, the devotees going on Sankirtan, it's all part of Lord Chaitanya's leela. So I just wanted to share with you some of those pastimes and adventures. And then at the end of, towards the end of the class, I would just share with you, it's a phrase that was coined by Satsvarup Maharaj. He wrote a couple books called Lessons from the Road. So sometimes I kind of use that when I'm giving a little talk or something, just sharing my own reflections. So it virtually is Lessons from the Road, because whether it was a Sankirtan van or off on a Sankirtan traveling adventure, they are really lessons of the road, and they're just my own reflections and lessons from my years of Sankirtan. So, oh, that's okay. In the beginning, I won't tell you my whole story, but, you know, I went to all overland to India and back, and actually Shruti Dharma Prabhu said yesterday I was distributing on the cold streets. I think he said in minus 25 below. Actually, that is not a fact, because when I returned to my hometown in Canada, Winnipeg, Canada, and His Holiness Shivaram Maharaj was the temple president there, and I went into the temple and I said, oh, I've just been to Vrindavan, and they kind of, it's a very conservative town, so when somebody walks into the temple, says, I've just been to Vrindavan, you know, he kind of like, whoa, you know, they just kind of pounced on me and wanted me to join right away, you know. But, you know, in Winnipeg, yeah, it does go to minus 45, something like minus 45 below. And the devotees were on the streets there, you know, in the freezing cold. And I saw them on the streets. I think they distributed books, but they also handed out lollipops at first, you know, lollipops, and then perhaps there were books. But I just thought, no, no, I can't do this. This isn't for me. So it's not a fact that it distributed in minus 45 degree weather. However, I very much like Srila Prabhupada's, you know, his phrase, simple living and high thinking. So took me a while, but when I finally decided I'm going to surrender, I decided I'm on my way to New Vrindavan. I'm going to live a simple life, you know, based, agrarian based, you know, grow vegetables, live peacefully, worship Krishna, and high thinking, and that was the ideal, and I'm still striving for that. But so I stopped in Chicago, and on the way, I thought I'd spend 3 days in the Chicago temple. I'd never been there before. And funny enough, the devotees from Winnipeg Temple had gone through Minneapolis, and they had all ended up in Chicago. So there I saw them again. Shiva Maharaj was there as well. And little did I know that Chicago was the hub, was the heart of America. It is the heart of America, and it was actually the heart of the Sankirtan movement in America at the time. So the first day I was there, I said, I'm on my way to New Vrindavan. They said, oh, why don't you just come out with us? We're going off on Sankirtan. So I went off with them to what Srila Prabhupada called O'Hare Airport, but actually it's called O'Hare Airport. And I went with them, and the first day, somehow or other, by the Lord's mercy, I had a big result. So I came back after Sankirtan, they said, you're not going anywhere, you're staying here. So I didn't actually ever make it to New Vrindavan until years later when I got married. But my adventures in Chicago were quite phenomenal. I think all the devotees that were present there at the time, I know Shiva Ram Maharaj, whenever he gives a class, he always brings it up. I'm like, Maharaj, that's years ago, you know, let's talk about now. No, but it was a very, very sweet time. O'Hare Airport, or O'Hare Airport, is where Srila Prabhupada, he walked through that airport, and he coined O'Hare Airport. And we had all the big Sankirtan Maharatis there. You know, we had the Radha Damodar party who'd come through, and we had His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu, Pragosh Prabhu, Tripurari Swami. I don't think he was a Swami then. And we had two terminals. The men had one terminal, and they would distribute big books. And the ladies had, I think, terminal one, and they would distribute Krishna books and Back to Godhead magazines. So, it was when all the people would come off the flights, you know, they'd come through the, you know, to the arrivals, and then when they would finally come out, it was as if, in this verse it says, a loving network, what does it say exactly? Yes, no one can escape the unique loving network of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was a bit like that, actually, because there were at least, you know, 5 to 10 devotees just waiting for them to come through. And we'd kind of say, oh, I got that one, you know. And they would come through, and they would get caught up in this net of loving mercy by the devotees. And there was no escaping. Practically, there was no escaping. So we really felt like we were trying to catch people in the love and compassion of Srila Prabhupada's mercy by distributing these books. And, you know, it was buzzing, like there was a real mood all around the world, you know, it was huge competition. I mean, everyone was focused on Sankirtan. The marathon, we didn't even go back to the temple. We stayed at the hotel across the road, and it was kind of like hardly slept. But we had a quota, and we had the women, I don't know about the men's quota, but for us, every day we had to distribute 500 BTGs or 500 Krishna books. That was our quota. And it was, and we managed to do it. I mean, sometimes You know, we saw people took books, we saw them lying around, but, you know, there are many stories about how people take books and then they end up in different places and then someone picks them up. But we did manage, somehow or other, to distribute 500 books a day. And we would have one devotee, he would go with I think he's still there in the Chicago Temple, as John Keynath always tells me he's there. He used to push this huge trolley of prasadam, like not just, it was subji rice doll, like all hot in containers, like the food for all. And he'd push it between terminal and terminal to nourish the devotees. And we'd also feed a lot of the workers there. Because I really saw the power of prasadam distribution there through that. Because it wasn't always easy. There were lots of challenges. In that time, there was lots, I think there was a period where there was a like Jonestown massacre. So there was all this anti-cult kind of propaganda coming out. We produced a book at that time, Don't Lump Us In, because there were these kind of evangelist Christians in the airport, and they used to come while you were trying to distribute a book to someone, they'd be clacking with these clackers. They'd come in between you and the person you were talking to, clack, 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 clack. And it was most annoying, and you had to just be really calm and keep your cool and be, you know, kind of a good ambassador for Srila Prabhupada, you know, just be tolerant. Once, you know, because they would see us exchanging lots of, people would give quite hefty donations sometimes, and some of the airport workers, they would get quite envious. So, you know, we just kept feeding them prasadam and eventually, you know, many of them actually, you could see their hearts became transformed, whether through witnessing the Sankirtan or partaking of prasadam, I don't know. But there were, you know, once I had bleach thrown at me by one of the workers, and somehow, I don't know how it happened, but I got bleach thrown on me, but I got put in prison in Chicago. And that's not a place you want to spend lots of time with all the prostitutes. But, you know, generally speaking, there was an amazing mood generated. Many prominent kind of people would come through the airport. And I had the privilege of being able to distribute a book to Muhammad Ali. I can't remember what I actually said to him, but I just remembered he was a very, very, very gracious and he gave like a £20 donation, $20, sorry, donation at the time. So, it was really, really phenomenal. And I think the thing that kept us going was the fact that we knew Srila Prabhupada would be reading the newsletters. You know, he would be, every week, he would live to read those scores of how his books were being distributed. And sometimes, actually I have a quote here, Srila Prabhupada, he was writing to Rameshwar, and he said, regarding sales figures, please endeavor in this way, the sales figures, this is the only solace in my life. When I hear that my books are selling so nicely, I become energetic like a young man. It is a very good report that the printers are surprised at our sales figures. So even we lived for Srila Prabhupada hearing those same Sankirtan newsletters. I actually brought a couple of the old ones with me from 1979. So at the end of the class, if anybody wants to see one or two of them, because they've got the Maha large temples. In those days, England was number 3 behind France and Italy. I think last year we were number 1, were we? No, were we? Number 1? Outside of India. Well, India doesn't even feature on here in those days. Yeah. Anyway, and then it goes on and lists all the different temples and their book scores, Maha Big Books book, and each of the individual devotees' names who were in the top 5 in each category. So if you got your name up there and Srila Prabhupada got to hear your name, you just felt, you know, so ecstatic. So sometimes we would be visited by senior devotees, and occasionally during a marathon, Shiva Maharaj, he would actually bring Shishi Gorni Thai from the altar into the field of Sankirtan to witness the pastimes of the devotees distributing his books. So that was really wonderful. Unfortunately, all good things come to an end, or not an end, but, you know, evolve. So I was sent to the UK, and after that kind of very uplifting experience, we were really a Sankirtan team. The whole temple, everyone, the pujaris, the cooks, everyone was focused on distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. And then I came to UK, and I was sent to the Lady Sankirtan House in Clapham Junction, Clapham. Like a house. I'd never seen terraced houses before, you know, just like a whole line of houses connected together, all concrete, and we didn't have any heating in that house, and it was kind of a shock for me, to say the least. And it was, I mean, in Chicago, I mean, Shiva Maharaj, he kind of went with whatever our, you know, he just let us kind of go out independently, and, you know, I had a car, I could go whenever I wanted, here it was kind of a Sankirtan party of ladies, and I just, I'm kind of an independent kind of devotee, so it took a while. Also, just to distribute books on the street, that was something I had never done so much before. Like in America, occasionally we went to one of those rah-rah football games. That was our kind of day out. You know, we went to do Sankirtan at a football, because, you know, in America they're really big on football. But I never actually distributed on the streets. And I think Mother Kalangana was there on that party. Mother Kalangana, and I believe Radha Shakti was as well. I think, I'm pretty sure she was there at that time. And we used to, every morning we'd get up at 3 o'clock, we'd get in the big van, and we'd chant the Shikshastakam prayers on the way to Soho Street. That time, the temple was being renovated, and the girls' Sankirtan party actually made a huge contribution, financial contribution, to the renovation of that temple. So we'd go. I always remember Mother Kalangana, she'd be beating herself on the back to stay awake, because it was a long day, you know. Then we would go to the whole morning program at first Sri Radha Landaneshwara, and then we'd be out on the streets, mostly the tourist spots, Oxford Street and all the tourist spots. So it was a challenging time because, well, for me, you know, had to learn all the mantras, you know, every language, you know, how to say, excuse me, we're handing these out today, or, you know, where are you from, in about 20 languages. But, you know, it was challenging because at that time we would be constantly arrested for highway obstruction. It was just, you know, you're just constantly, because the policemen used to wear those, you know, bobbies, they used to wear those caps in those days, helmets, and so we'd always be kind of looking out for them, although there were the plainclothes policemen as well, and they'd always be looking out for us, and they would always arrest us. They could only arrest us for highway obstruction, which was quite pathetic, you know, really. And then we'd have to go to court, and we'd have to plead guilty, because it was easier to plead guilty than non-guilty, which would, you know, long kind of, it would be costly. And so it's really a testament to the effect of the Sankirtan that we don't have any issues like that anymore at all. Not only that, we can go perform Harinam Sankirtan on the street, without police escort, and they just smile at us and everyone. So that's a real testament to the effect of book distribution. So after a while, it did get a little bit, it was a bit difficult. So, you know, we had to think of some other ways to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. Now, you've all heard of the BBC, right? And I know you don't watch television, but you've all heard of the BBC. You've heard of ITV, right? So we made up these little press passes and ITV, right? ISKCON television. So we would go with these press passes to all sorts of events. We would just flash it, press. Once I found myself at a Genesis concert or something, and they're outside the ticket touts. They were selling tickets for like, you know, £200-300 or something like that. I think it was at the Hammersmith Apollo. We go to the backstage and we just, you know, flash our little badge, you know, confidently just praying to Srila Prabhupada, and somehow or other, you know, they would just be covered over. Once I found myself behind, backstage, and it was like a maze back there. I didn't know how to get out. Somehow I ended up on the stage itself, but luckily all the people that were for the concert, they were already, you know, in the bars and all that. So I couldn't even find how to get off the stage because it was like a orchestra pit and all this. But eventually, you know, we got to the front where everyone was kind of, you know, really, you know, as they do get before a concert or an event, you know, really excited and in a good mood. So yeah, we were, it was pop concerts, anywhere and everywhere. I mean, England is a country where there's lots of events. Then we twigged into the, Bratislava was part of our Sankirtan team. That was when we moved here later. Yeah, there was the Royal Horticultural shows. They happen all over the UK. So, let's try that. So we would go to the horticultural shows. And, you know, you get a different type of person. I mean, it says in this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu devised ways to capture all kinds of atheists and materialists. So, you know, you go to different events and you get all different types of people in different modes. Once we had an idea to go to the TT races, you know, the TT races over in Isle of Man. And there was one Namahata member there, Alan and his two children. So, you know, I think there were about three of us. We said, can we go over there? And it's all guys on motorbikes, right? Going up for the whole 4 days or something, going around the island to all these events, and it's all motorbikes. And I actually wrote an article about it at the time because it was called You Can't Eat Nuts and Bolts, because in America they have this kind of savory mixture called nuts and bolts. It's all pretzels and different things. So I said, oh, you can, because, you know, you think bikers are really hard-hearted, you know, or they're really, you know, tough and all that. But actually, they were so sweet to take the books. At the end of like 3 days, practically everybody had a book and a badge and a sticker. So, anywhere and everywhere. I mean, even at one point, I thought, well, you know, we had so much success with distributing books in the airports in America. What about Heathrow Airport? So it was, you know, a bit challenging because we didn't have, in America we had permission, you know, there was this kind of, I can't remember what it was, but something in their declaration about religious organizations being free to distribute books. Although I think now I don't think they're able to anymore. So in England we didn't have such a law, so actually it would be an illegal activity in the airport. But I had about four different disguises. I had two wigs, glasses, different types of glasses, different types of clothes. And, you know, moving from terminal to terminal, sitting down, I had to kind of not, we couldn't catch them in the net. I had to just sit down with them and talk to them, go to the different bars and places and just sit down and talk to people. And it was really successful, I have to say, until I got caught. Eventually, that was the end. However, I hear that Swan Mutji has been distributing books in Heathrow Airport last year, isn't it? So, fantastic. And I was really, I'm like, wow, you've done it. No, because, I mean, you know, in the airport, people are kind of in limbo. I don't know if you've experienced, when you travel, you're kind of in a different zone. You can be reflective, or you're not here or there. So it's a really kind of a great time to be able to catch people and give them a book. So, you know, we had many Sankirtan adventures, and I think, as I say, they were the best times of my life, although they, you know, going on Sankirtan is every single day that I did go out, and even now when I do go out, but even every single day when I did go out, it was a challenge. Jai Shishi Radhika Kulananda Ki Jai. You know, before you actually talk to the first person or approach the first person. And, you know, and then once you kind of approach the first person and, you know, you pray. Well, I'm going to go into my lessons from the road now, if that's okay. So, yeah, my first lesson from the road from my experiences was entering the zone. So, yeah, We are only instruments of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So what we can only pray, I mean, I used to just pray intensely before I approached the first person. I mean, obviously, you know, sadhana has to be their very good morning program. But before I would approach the first person, Sri Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda. I still do that today. Between every person, I'm just chanting constantly, please, please, Krishna, engage me in this service. Help me to be an instrument to distribute this mercy. We take shelter in the fact that the whole parampara, they are witnessing our activities. They are witnessing our activities. They are showering flowers on the book distributors wherever they are. And so pleased that the literary word, this message, this divine message is going out. So just like Srila Prabhupada would hear our Sankirtan scores every day here, he's also hearing every day. We should know that we are doing this so that we can please Srila Prabhupada at the end of the day, or the next morning. They read the Sankirtan scores, and that should encourage us on, that we're giving Srila Prabhupada, you know, giving his life and soul, and he is witnessing our activities. My second lesson is about being creative and using your imagination. And anything goes. So you can look for any situation. I mean, there was a time that we would always distribute, if we stopped at a petrol station, we would distribute a book. Everywhere we went, we always had books with us. And maybe the devotees still do that today. But it's a good principle, actually. Wherever you go, keep books with you. And we didn't miss any opportunity. And we always looked for places where the streets are tough. I mean, they are tough, because there's so much passion on the streets. So if you can, you know, think of other situations where you know, the public are a little bit more relaxed and a little bit more open to hearing. But yeah, be creative. I mean, that whole ITV press thing, I mean, that got us, kept us going for a few years there. You know, we got into so many events just with that ITV press pass. And, you know, it was ISKCON television. We weren't lying. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, but, you know, we just prayed that we could, I mean, we were fearless. I have to say, we were just fearless. We would, isn't it, Radhasanga? We would just go anywhere and do anything. I mean, obviously, we didn't do anything. I mean, we wouldn't break the law or anything like that, but wouldn't do that. But, you know, we would go anywhere and do anything to try and get these books out. So use your imagination and you know, just like Srila Prabhupada says in this purport, that, you know, he was so brave in making a stance, you know, marrying couples, initiating ladies, allowing ladies to take part. So I'm not saying that we should go beyond what is recommended by Guru Sadhu and Shastra, but I think Srila Prabhupada wanted us to be creative in how we, not just with the book distribution, but in giving the message, connecting people to Krishna, that we should actually tune in and make what we're giving very relevant to people in this day and age. And however we do it, through the media or, you know, whatever means, we have to devise means and be very creative. Number three is watch the magic manifest. And we've all experienced Krishna magic. This is a phrase that Mother Yamuna always calls it, you know, Krishna magic. But Sankirtan, you really get an opportunity to see the Krishna magic, isn't it? We all love hearing the Sankirtan stories when we come together at the Sankirtan festival. And, you know, it is true that these books, they have a mind of their own. They actually end up in the hands of where they're meant to be, to those souls who are ready for the message. We've heard many stories of how people have just been on the verge of committing suicide, and they've just like found a VTG sitting next to them, or stories of how people, you know, fished out from the water where they were going to, I don't know, fished out a bag that had an old book in it. I had an experience where I really did get to experience that Krishna magic. And I know if I asked every one of you who have been out, you'd be able to tell some really, you know, magical means the divine intervention of Krishna. So at one point we had heard that in Iceland they read a lot of books. In fact, they didn't have television there at the time, so that they read more books than any other country, and this is going back 30 years. And one devotee, Amita, who ran the BBT, he had been there and he had made contact with one young man who was very eager. He'd made a connection, just like Srila Prabhupada made that one connection with the first Russian devotee, Ananta Shanti. So Amita had made this connection, but somehow or other, myself and another devotee, Gopimata, we decided, let's go on an adventure to Iceland. I think it was a marathon. Let's go distribute some books. We tried to contact Amita to get the information of this particular devotee, because I think Amita had left boxes of books with this devotee, because we were just traveling on a normal domestic flight or international flight, but we couldn't take boxes of books. We didn't ship boxes of books. We had already booked our tickets, and somehow we could not make contact with Amita. So we just decided, okay, well, we're just going to have to wing it, right? We just took whatever books we could in our suitcase. We got on the plane, and it was, you know, it was an adventure, because we didn't really know where we were going to stay or how we were going to do it, or we'd never been to the country. I sit down to this particular person and get in a conversation with him, and lo and behold, this person, I told him what we had intended to do, and this person I sat beside, he was the close friend of this, I can't even remember this person's name, in Iceland, Eric or something, but he was his close friend. So when we landed in Iceland, he put us up in a hotel. Then the next day, he took us to meet this devotee. He had loads of books, and we spent weeks there going house to house, because in Iceland, there's only about, in the winter, there's only about 3 or 4 hours of daylight. So we would actually go door to door, and people were very, very keen. We distributed loads of books in Iceland. So that was a bit of my magic. But I was reading Vaisheshika Prabhu's book. I see you got a poster up there for Our Family Business. And I was reading his book, and I read this one story, how a devotee in San Francisco, and I'll just share this one story with you. Some people got off a tour bus in San Francisco, and he was distributing books. I think his name was Mitra, the devotee. And so he approached someone, and the person was reluctant to take a book. And then he said, okay, how much do you want for this book? Okay. And the devotee said, well, you can give anything at all, you know, just a donation. Usually people will give a fiver or something. He said, okay, if I give you $2, you know, people do like that. They say, if I give you $2, can I have the book? And he said, of course. He said, okay, on one condition, if you sign the book with my name. So he said, just put 2 Hector from Mitra. So he did it. He signed the book. The next day at the temple president said to him, did you meet someone named Hector on your book distribution on Sankirtan? And he goes, yes, I think so. Why? And he goes, well, there was this one person. He was walking the streets. This is another person. He was walking in Chinatown in San Francisco, and he saw a book just sitting on the side. And he picked it up, and he opened it up, and it said, 2 Hector from Mitra. And he couldn't understand how somebody knew his name, that somebody had personally written this 2 Hector from Mitra. So he contacted the temple, and he came to the temple, and he bought many, many books. So what magic is this? That was another person named Hector. So this is the Krishna magic. So as we get into this zone, and we pray for the mercy, we actually experience this magic, and it's really splendorous to behold. So we're just getting to the end of class, so I'll just finish soon. But The other thing I wanted to say, number four, is Sankirtan. It's a yajna. Like, we do these yajnas. We didn't used to do many yajnas in the old days, like havens, only when people got married or initiated. Now we do havens for everything else. It's okay. But Sankirtan is our real business. It's our real yajna. This is a personal reflect. People say to me, they say, how did you manage to get such a good husband, and how do you have such wonderful children, and they're so Krishna conscious? And I say, well, the only thing I can attribute it to, and I'm not saying that you should do this to get good husbands or wives or good children, but the only thing I can attribute it to is that I got a chance to engage in the Sankirtan Yajna. And when you engage in the Sankirtan Yajna, it just brings all positivity. It says in that video you produced, it's just simply by the endeavor, it will bring all auspiciousness to us in our lives, right? You get the mercy, that's number five, just by the endeavor. So this is the Yajna for Kali Yuga. This is the Sankirtan Yajna. Please know that by, you know, throwing grains or by purchasing books, distributing books, we are going to get the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the whole parampara. Srila Prabhupada said in a letter to Ridayananda Goswami, he said, their enthusiasm for distributing my books will please me very much. Not only will I be pleased, but my Guru Maharaj will also be pleased, and they will be blessed. So I'll just do the last two. Number six, I was reflecting that you should be bold and take risks. And I think I've shared with you a few examples of how we tried to do that. Srila Prabhupada said, now this has to be taken in context because it's actually a letter to the ladies' party at the time. There was a phase where, you know, the ladies were, how do we be, you know, submissive and gentle in the temple, but aggressive on Sankirtan. So Srila Prabhupada wrote, regarding the problem of how to be aggressive on Sankirtan as submissive in the temple, my request is that you should go on being aggressive on Sankirtan. I myself was aggressive in coming to your country. No one invited me, but I came and I preached aggressively, and therefore you are now my disciples. Aggression for the cause of Lord Chaitanya is pure. If you completely become absorbed in such aggression to spread the Sankirtan movement, there will be no question of wanting to lord it over in the temple. So I don't think Srila Prabhupada, when he said aggression, I don't think he meant being aggressive with people. Of course, we are out there as Srila Prabhupada's representatives, and we should not do anything in any way to agitate anybody, or to, you know, we cannot get disturbed if someone doesn't want to take a book or... But I think what he meant is being assertive, you know, not being shy, but just putting yourself out there and being assertive, and in the way that, you know, we get the courage, because you need a lot of courage. I know a lot of devotees, I find it really difficult still to approach people on the streets. You need a lot of courage. You have to pray for that courage. You have to be assertive, and you have to have confidence in what you're trying to do. And finally, number seven is know that you are making a difference. You are making a difference. I know that one devotee was saying that when Srila Prabhupada, just before he left the planet, he said, the damage is already done. The books are out there. The books are already out there. And the books, as I said, they've got minds of their own. They end up in the hands of those people. But we need to put more out there. We need more and more, you know, because Kali Yuga is progressing and we can see how things are going in the world, you know. It's we can see the effects of Kali Yuga. This is a wonderful quote that I took out of Vaisheshika's book. I think it's from his words, but I thought it was really very poignant. He says, through his pen, Srila Prabhupada planned to reach the whole world with the most exalted ideas passed down to him through the disciplic succession. When distributed, these books bridge political borders and cultural barriers. His books change people's hearts, bring fame to Lord Chaitanya's movement, and when distributed in mass quantity, will eventually conquer Maya's empire. So I thought that was a really powerful message there. So just finally, I just wanted to thank all of the Sankirtan leaders, Vishwa Bhar Prabhu, Sutapa Prabhu, Nikhil, all of you who are actually keeping the fire of Sankirtan alive. I mean, I really feel that we're entering another golden age, because, you know, there were a few years there where, I mean, there was a time where everybody went on Saturday Sankirtan, the whole temple, wasn't it? We all went on Saturday Sankirtan. During the week, it was just the Sankirtan devotees. But on Saturday, and during the marathon, you know, a few others. But somehow or other, you're managing to mobilize the whole community, not just the devotees in the temple serving, but the greater community outside, all the different factions, the Pandavasenas and the Sangha groups, and, you know, the, what do you call your group? Sacred Street Party. You're mobilizing, you're igniting this fire of Sankirtan, thanking Anuradha and her team for putting this wonderful display together. And so, I just want to thank you all, because it's Srila Prabhupada's life and soul. And I just want to thank you, and I also want to seek your blessings that I can also go out and do something for Srila Prabhupada. So thank you very much for hearing this class, and Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Books Distribution ki jai.